every intention. And this McLuhan, the one we just heard, is bottom-up knowledge. This will be top-down. Lots of Kennedy assassination material, other stuff, Howard Hughes. This has a lot of the stuff that we didn't do, I think. I don't think we did any part of this session. So it's going to be pretty neat. And it ends with me talking to J. Edgar Hoover, the big demon himself. He comes in at the end to assess what I had done to him by finding out what he had done. Right? Okay?
Okay.
Nothing, no...
Go with it.
What?
Go with it. The last one was amazing. So I want to throw that out there.
That's Leon, yes. What did you post? You posted something, Leon, about that.
Yeah, pretty much is what I just told you and great questions that you asked.
Right. Where did I see that? You just wrote that. Don't forget Zen again. I think that's Zen Woman. Send me your email address. Send it to ion@howionic.com. ion@howionic.com so I can send you the something, whatever I was supposed to send you. She says, if that is hers, then again says, August, or augmenter, is that from Finnegan's? And remember, Finnegan's Wake has no apostrophe S. You guys are writing it with apostrophe S. I started to give this link, James Joyce something, which is great, a free Finnegan's Wake download, PDF or EPUB or Mobi for Kindle. Cider Summer says that was from Wiki. And then Cider Summer said publishes post stuff on Anthroposophy and the Steiner schools. Then again, says 141 hours. Yay, yay, yay. Here's Augmenter thinking, and I guess the other guy thought that this was from Finnegan's Wake. He says, I on Mr. Ant, A-N-T, violent acres, whining fascist, dangling ganglia, obsolete obscenity, mimologicology, anthroanalogical mimologicology, ion negentropic mimologicologically. Harold Channer, wave that banner. Bucky Balls, forever spanner. Fundies, fondy, poppy cockney. All around, ringsome, mearsome, vamply, ei. Book keys, vision, all for a bit. Liverpool, anamorphic. Analog gnosis, worm's eye view. Ground, big grandeur, cell fondue. And that came from, not Finnegan's Wake, but, is the answer? Nope. Bob calls it telegraphies. Yes, so that was Augmenter's telegraphies. Then Cider Somerset says, we are going to finish with J. Edgar Hoover cleaning the house in a maid's outfit, doing the hovering, LOL. Okay, I saw your message, Leon, and don't see, was it way down the bottom?
It's a little bit down from
I see it. Yeah, that was a great recording. That was a great recording. I must go back and listen again. Bob asked amazing questions. Thank you, Leanne, for out the past 6 months pointing out my talents in every fucking post you make.
Hey, you deserve it.
Yeah, the music appreciation, this to that. Did I read this? Then woman says, we've been listening while eating. All my friends love this mescaline afterlife evergreens. Bob, this was the best I've heard so far. Did it just end now? Did it end? Bill, wish I could send some of this food to you. Hope someone is watching out for you. Giving thanks in Albuquerque. Where it is no longer Breaking Bad, but Breaking Bob. Right? So, what do you think? We should have a little music to get you to remember there is such a thing as music, and we've got to come up with some. I mean, my prejudice would be to that, 9-minute thing, Camilo Brillo leading into Bongo Fury, that great footage from the movie Baby Snakes, where Zappa, is playing with Joey Psychotic, and who's a bodyguard in the crowd. And he throws the toilet paper out in the audience. And he's slapping people's hands. You ever seen that, Leon, that video? You probably have, right?
No.
Okay. No, you're being ironic?
No, no, I'm actually speaking the truth, but I'm writing it down now.
Yeah, just look.
What was the song?
It's Camilo Brillo and Muffin Man. You put those four words together and zap, and you get the special footage. I mean, that's a lively one, but we'll probably play several songs. We should have, you know, bronze, gold, and silver, three songs that people want, that feel are appropriate to end this Woodstock, Altamont, and even more, this celebration of ancient chemical body.
Yes, Bob, I agree with the bronze, gold, and silver. I would like to nominate the Vestal, I Wouldn't Take Nothing for My Journey Now song to be the...
Amen to that one.
Well, how about Looking for a City?
Which one? Yes, I was going to say, I want to nominate Looking for a City for some one of the other medals other than
what
City
nominated. Yeah, so it's 2-2, so we have to break the tie there. What do you think, Ginny? I wouldn't take anything now, but what about Looking for a City? This is what this was, a modern city.
Okay, I'll go with that.
McLuhan
but
said
I like
that,
what...
McLuhan said that Woodstock, he said this in Take Today, 1972 book, that Woodstock and other festivals were instant cities. You know, and the mechanical city was obsolete, the chemical body city, because people were moving into what Wyndham Lewis called magnetic city. That would be radio, TV, and beginning of computers. So the electronic, this current city was what people were living in. So they didn't want to have an old physical city, something that would just create more modern paralysis. So they celebrated making, and this fits. This is your making your urban environment that your grandfather did. So they'd take a couple of weeks or a weekend and make an instant city and call it a rock festival. And then Burning Man has developed. There's been permutations of that. What the next one was raves in the 90s, I guess. And then Lollapalooza kind of things, or Lilith. And then Burning Man. These are variations. Well, we've inaugurated a new kind of, quote, city here. Instant city, eternal, the strongest food base, the richest liquor, and everything else. You get that, Ginny?
Well, yes, and it could be representative of the New Jerusalem since it had the ionic appearance breezing through it. So I like Looking for a City. I can upload that on my board, Bob, and when it comes around to it, I can play that one if you don't have it.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, Looking for a City is exactly. We were looking over thousands of years, and we finally found one where I never have to die. That's the lyrics, you know?
Boom.
Find a city where I never... Isn't that the lyric? Where I never have to die?
Yes, that's a very good suggestion. Very good, Sarah. Yep, very good.
The Last Zion.
The Last Zion. Yes, Zion.
This is exciting. It's the final Zion.
Is that what you said? Yeah, the final Zion.
Yes.
Is that what you said, Sarah? You said the last Zion.
Yes, right. It's the final separation, and we get the Zion. Yes.
Well, you know, that's what would happen. If I had asked, after I asked, what's the final Armageddon, I then would have said, okay, Ion. I mean, Evergreens, what's the final Zion?
And they'd be
positive.
Yes.
You know what they'd say? What would be their answer? They'd go, Dobbs Down.
Yes, I know. Yes, it is. Yeah. It's no sleep till Dobbs Down. That's what I've been telling myself all week.
Yeah, Mr. and Mrs. Dobbs. So, and you know that they have, in the Church of Genius mythology, the Dobbs, the couple, Bob and Connie Dobbs, they have twins. And that's what we have. We have twins, foster twins. And, well, there's more to say. What they do in Toronto, they're right in the middle of the storm right there now, as usual. Oh, who's laughing? That sounds familiar. That's,
It sounds like a Leon laugh.
No. There you go. Good job, Carolyn.
No, no. It sounded like Bart. That was a Bart.
No, no way.
Yep. Yep, but it was Leon, but it was Bart to me.
I got Leon wrong hours ago. I thought he was Bert, so I had to make up for that.
Yeah, and where is Bert? I guess it's Thanksgiving. He just couldn't make it, but he did have great news the other day. His partner got the revelation or the mutation or something happened to her, right?
Wow.
Finally.
Cool.
So, what is anybody technically, you know, just after 12, we're going to hour 142, right? 142.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, there's Sasha. What about No More Night? What does that mean? Is that a band? No More Night. Is that a Vancouver festival or the Toronto, you know, all night
thing? I just came in the room. I thought you were recording.
Beg your pardon?
Sorry, that was me. I forgot to mute. It was Allison.
Right.
Hold on.
So, Sasha, what is No More Night? Is that some Victoria phenomenon? Is that a song by the Beatles or Leonard Dillon?
Leonard Dillon?
Side of the Soul's over?
Leonard Dillon, yeah. I totally missed that until Carolyn said it.
Yeah, when they bring in the North American Union, you know, Mexico, Canada, and the United States, they'll have to redo the cultural history, and had they have the Leonard Cohen, Canadian poet, and Dillon, American, they're going to merge it and make it a Leonard Dillon. It'll be politically compromised and set out to be politically, spiritually correct, and you'll see footage of Dillon and Cohen overlapping, and it'll be Leonard Dillon. Now, Ion, that's just David Phelps, one of Ion's favorite songs. Oh, that's religious stuff. Nobody beats Bessel Goodman, Sasha. And anyways, we're not, unless Ion shows up, he has no say in the vote. You must participate each time.
Have you been checking the numbers to see if they're,
Ginny would have noticed it by now. I think Ginny checks it a lot. Right, Ginny? There's no phone number there, right?
Not so far, Bob.
I think JW is doing Thanksgiving, you know. He does have obligations.
Of course. Right.
It used to be a major operation. We wouldn't hear from him for a couple days on Thanksgiving. We wouldn't hear from him for about a week when Christmas was happening. Okay, so I think we will go forward now with this. Now, this is April 23rd. Now, this is appropriate. April 23rd is Shakespeare's birthday, I think. All right? And it's from 1991. That was a great year. And it was done in Suite 2302, session number 28, which is the 14 vibe as opposed to the 22 vibe. And that last session was the 22nd. And so it's Shakespearean, theatrical, happening. And we will begin it at 4:34. Okay. You want to say something, Carol, while I get organized? Or?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I just had a consult with someone, and what I was going over is all the medications, and I'm not revealing any confidences here, but he's on a whole herd of medications, and when I look them up, I look up their, you know, if it's a fluoride drug and what the other ingredients are, and this guy's very toxic. And actually it was prompted to me putting this this list of inactive ingredients in an area where I'll blog on it, because on the Magnesium Advocacy group Facebook page, they were going on about vitamins and minerals, or minerals is the big topic there because of magnesium, of course. And it's like complaining about the different products having this or that ingredient, and how clean were they, and just really getting very fanatic about it. And then, so I think, yeah, I cut and pasted this into them, and I said, look at this drug. It's for MS. Tecfidera, TECFIDERA. It's a hard gelatin delayed release capsule for oral administration containing dimethyl fumarate, consisting of the following inactive ingredients: microcrystalline cellulose, silicified microcrystalline cellulose, Coscarmalose sodium, talc, silica colloidal silicon dioxide, magnesium stearate, triethyl citrate, methacrylic acid polypolymer type A, methyl acrylic acid copolymer dispersion, dimethicone 30% emulsion, sodium lauryl sulfate, polysorbate 80. The capsule shell printed with black ink contains the following inactive ingredients: gelatin, titanium dioxide, FD&C blue number 1, brilliant blue FCF, yellow iron oxide, and black iron oxide. So that's what you're getting in just one drug. Couple of dozen ingredients. Now, we can handle it. You know, we'll break it all down with our RNA drops. But, you know, for some of these folks, it's just, you know, then you know, they'll go and have a big meal or whatever and get really sick and say, oh, the meal is what did it. Whereas what it is a straw that breaks the camel's back, you know, one more chemical ingredient in their food, and they're just tipped over the edge, and then they go off and get diagnosed with some horrendous neurological disease because they're, you know, dizzy and vomiting and reacting to the accumulation of all this crap.
Why do they have so much chemical content?
I know. I have no idea.
I just get an idea, Karen. A big corporation, IG Farben Corporation, they're going to make a new pill, and they auction off areas. Okay, you're a copper industry, we'll let a little piece of copper
in
there.
Yes, that's right.
And employs all the industries with their metals and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's the big op project, they let as many corporations dump their product into the pill.
Yep, yeah.
You like that?
I do.
Do you know the movie The Secret of NIM?
The Secret of NIM.
N-I-H-M, NIM?
No, mm-mm.
I don't think I saw that.
It implies a lot of this, kind of ties it all together. I think it's a Disney movie even, but it's about lab rats. And it's basically about them, you know, they give them some perks with the meds, and then they think that, you know, they want the meds, but they're also just doing experiments. That's basically
right. What
mm-hmm. I signed up for unknowingly when I entered the Western medical system, was just to be a lab rat guinea pig,
right.
You know.
Well,
is
the movie about freeing lab rats?
Yes, yes, but it's also about the secrets behind it, like revealing the medical industry.
Right.
Cool.
Okay. All right, so let's start. Can somebody post? Are we in hour 142? Because this is gonna go into 142, 143. Then we'll have one last hour. So here we go. Bring the volume up. Sound. Yep. Okay, this is going to have all kinds of great stuff. Kennedy assassination, details about all kinds of things. Uh-oh, I just realized something. It can't start the D-cell. It does begin with the Jodan Sloan formula, Carolyn.
Uh-huh.
You were just given the formula a couple weeks before. I don't know if I can broadcast that part. So, I think I'm just going to move it forward until we get into the Bob part. All right, so it's going to be a little noisy as I find where we should start.
Ford himself.
Please.
Need to. And it was discovered that the Soviet Union had to move troops. Yes.
Now, what kind of decisions were made to stop the going to the end game of playing of throwing the bombs? Were there? I was going to ask about the Reagan assassination.
The Soviets down. You see, rocketry
bombs at that point. So yeah. It was more of let's. And that kind of thinking was going on extremely behind the scenes, you know.
Mm-hmm. Berlin airlift.
In 48.
Yes, at last resort. Understanding that the United States itself had a considerable defensive network. The belief was the Russians would be coming over the next moment. So therefore...
Thank you, Evergreens. I'll turn over to Bob now.
We do thank you.
Okay. right there.
Greetings, Evergreen.
Greetings, Bob.
Okay, I have a whole bunch of different questions. We go on to different topics, but there might be a thread through it. The Evergreens once told me that we came close to nuclear war many times, I guess, since 1945, 1950, up till 1982, say.
Yes.
Could you elaborate on what kind of instances created that, or what kind of decisions?
Political. It was threat. You have to understand that the two major countries, the Soviet Union and the United States, possessors of considerable destructive power, had agreed at a certain level that nuclear weapons were not to enter into the equation, but in actuality they did. They were the point of last resort, understanding that the United States itself had a considerable defensive network. The belief was the Russians would be coming over the next moment. So therefore, they built elaborate detection systems, and these detection systems were not entirely accurate. Anything moving across the sky, flocks of birds, etc., were called on alert. This happened several times. Oftentimes, the alert does not go to a certain point, but nonetheless, primary alerts were created. The milieu was, they were expecting any moment the Russians to attack. The Cuban Missile Crisis was such an instance.
What's an instance before that and after? I mean, in terms of knowable events in the news, and that kind of thinking was going on extremely behind the scenes, you know.
Berlin Airlift.
In 48?
Yes.
Yeah. About the 50s?
In the 50s, what event was that? What was that? One moment. That was a trade war more than any. That was grain purchases from the United States.
Is that after the Suez Crisis?
Yes. The Suez Crisis, the Soviets were not deeply in this, though they were involved. There was not atomic weapons branded about, basically because the British themselves were involved in the Suez situation.
In the Berlin situation, the Russians didn't have any bombs at that point. So no. It was more, let's go get them now, from the States?
It was thought that if the Berlin situation escalated, they would move into atomics.
That the Americans would attack?
Yes.
Yeah. What about when Sputnik went up? That created incredible paranoia on the American side?
It created paranoia, but not nuclear paranoia. They did change appropriations. Much money then was thrown into rocketry. The situation being that since the Soviets could get an item into orbit, it proved that the rockets would be able to reach the United States.
Right, so then after the Cuban crisis, the Israeli Arab War, was that a crisis period?
No, it was not a crisis period. It, once again, nuclear threat kept the Soviets down, you see. They didn't raise their heads in that one. And because of that Arab-Israeli situation, that's when the Soviets began to change certain of their strategy concerning conventional weapons and selling to the Arab nations a greater amount.
So what happened after the Cuban Missile Crisis, almost to the point of atomic war, happened in the 60s and 70s? What signal events?
The assassination attempt on Reagan sent the entire mechanism into defense capability.
I was going to ask about the Reagan assassination. Was that organized beyond just the young John Hinckley?
No. There's no organization beyond that. There's a lone gun.
We know the rumors of another sniper above and people seeing this. That's not based on anything.
No.
So how about in the 70s, though? That's 81. Was there a crisis in the 70s?
Not precipitated by governments, precipitated by events across the defense warning system. That triggered meteorite activity in 76 that caused the system to go onto defense capability.
When the Reagan shooting happened, it went into defense because somebody wondered if the Russians did that?
Wondering, was it a concerted effort? In actuality, any threat to the president is followed up, followed through. See if there is maniacs on the loose. But the system now include defense systems. Wondering if there's going to be a coup. However, at this present time, it is not implemented.
What is not implemented?
Defense systems. Any threat to the president does not alter defense systems into a threat to the president.
Right. Now, what kind of decisions were made to stop the going to the end game of playing of throwing the bombs? Were there reasonable, very smart individuals who saw that it didn't need to have to take it that far?
Due to a certain spying activity, the United States realized the full capability of the Soviet Union to attack. The CIA itself made certain estimates based on that which they knew, and then several years later, confirmation showed that these estimates were way out of line, wildly incorrect.
And so what did that mean?
It meant that the attack capability of the Soviet Union was negligible.
When was that established?
That was established more in 78-79.
So when the Evergreen DGs talk about we almost had nuclear war, you know, what's just certain people decided not to go all the way? I mean, I'm just wondering what kind of thinking in those panic periods.
The thinking in the panicky periods was that the Soviet Union was capable, that it had the ability to wage war, and that it had the ability to move troops, etc., to continue a war. And certain thinking then would say, well, they do not have the capability. They do not have the aircraft. They do not have the capability of troop movements. So therefore, the Soviets would depend upon a very hard first strike. You see?
Yeah.
And this first strike thinking permeated all things. The Soviets would use a first strike. But they did not know, and it's only recently come to light.
Who did not know?
The United States decision makers at that level did not know that they were receiving cooked figures from not that the CIA cooked the figures, but the figures would be taken by the CIA. They would be submitted to the armed forces committees, and then these figures would be cut for military appropriations, pork barreling, etc. That supposed threat of the Soviet Union has cost the United States billions upon billions of dollars.
And when was that found out, that hoax?
Only across the past 8 years, in truth. By 82 to 83, it was being reenacted that the Soviet Union was not capable of waging war. Certain other algorithms were brought into play. The economic condition of the Soviet Union was being more accurately gauged. There were satellite observances of crops, of the military movement, etc. And it was discovered that the Soviet Union, as far as the United States was concerned, as far as military might, was a good 10, 15 years behind. The much vaunted Northern Fleet of atomic submarines was in actuality a joke. Many of the submarines were not sufficient to work and were not sufficient to run. The guidance systems of the submarines themselves were poor. The atomics running the submarines were so bad that the Soviet Navy itself had a joke. How can you tell someone of the Northern Fleet? He glows in the dark. There were submarine accidents. Submarines were lost. You see?
Yeah.
The class of submarines called boomers, those that would have intercontinental capability, would need to travel considerable distances at point of no detection. And almost all, and we repeat, almost all of the Soviet submarines have been tagged and identified, recorded, and the entire United States Navy had graphs of each submarine's sound pattern. There was a joke. Began to be realized that while the Soviet Union could produce, when focused on certain things, they were doing this at a terrible cost to themselves. A terrible cost. The country's education system, the country's health system, the country's welfare systems were being severely damaged. But you see, those who would cook the figures would say that if they have the capability to produce 20 million AK-47s, and they would also have the capability to produce 200 ICBMs, which then would go from proposal or propose or suppose numbers, would then get translated into actual numbers, which was not true. They had capability was also questionable.
All right. Now, did Kennedy, did Johnson, did Nixon know the figures were being cooked?
Johnson, Kennedy, Nixon, yes. But at the same time, realized the political pressure under which they themselves were.
So basically, the United States politically, it had been hijacked by the Defense Department, or
yes,
in this period.
Yes. Eisenhower was the one who began to realize it more than any.
Yeah, and he made
the beginning.
He made the statement.
Yes, indeed.
But I'm wondering, are there particular unknown heroes who prevented the Americans attacking, you know, overreacting?
No, there is no one person. The enormity of the situation caused the United States to hold back from raising defense levels.
In other words, even the top guys would maybe like to get a thrill pushing it there, but when they got to the final phase, they'd say, wait a minute, let's back off.
Yes.
So they'd sort of do it on themselves.
Yes.
I see.
But realize, the codes to release the firing mechanisms and aiming mechanisms for all of these were held by the military. The codes. But the code that released the code was the president's responsibility. Only he would have the instantaneous authority to reply to a situation. So therefore, the codes were kept constantly by his side. A person would carry the daily codes.
Yes.
And they were changed daily. The point is, the United States military had put in many fail-safe situations so that this could not be done on the whim of one man.
Were there any presidents during one of these atomic crises, atomic panics, who overrode some military guys and was a hero in that sense?
One, during his administration, was Ford. Ford himself said on one occasion when he was advised that there had been reports of something, said, no, check it out and check it out again.
And he was right?
He was right.
Yeah. But
by then,
beg pardon?
But by then, realize, the writing was being fair written on the wall, is being understood as the condition, true condition, of the Soviet ability to attack.
All right. Speaking of how the Defense Department sort of hijacked the states, was Kennedy going to go lean towards Eisenhower's view, John Kennedy?
More than anyone knew, he knew. But he was not going to blow the whistle. But he did know that there was bluff. And that's why he called the bluff.
And when was that?
Through the Cuban Missile.
Right. So, now the EGs talked about the Kennedy assassination in 77, 78, and how there was a military motive to get rid of Kennedy to move into the Vietnam War. So, the guys who set up the assassination of Kennedy, did they know that Kennedy knew?
They knew.
They knew that he knew they were bluffing.
Yes.
And they didn't see how to get through the 60s with that person in the White House, so they had to get rid of him on that level.
On that level, yes.
And they took advantage of the first person who started the ball rolling on the assassination.
Realize that tools are tools. When it is believed by the head of the FBI that the president is a traitor, and started it.
Yeah, and Hoover became a tool, a dupe too, in that sense, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, the EGs can't tell me the six people involved.
No.
But I'm going to think of one particular name, and I want to know if the Evergreens can read my mind and see if I am thinking the right name. Is that wise to try that?
No, it's not provable.
Right, but I'm just wondering, I'm thinking this name now.
Yes.
And was he the person who had the edge over the other five?
Yes.
I'm thinking him right now.
Yes.
All right, so we'll just leave it at that.
Yes, please.
Okay, thank you. Now, just to update, I'm very interested in this Roscoe White case, because E.G. said that he was back up on the grassy knoll.
Yes.
I was looking through some of my conspiracy, Kennedy conspiracy books, and one witness and a couple others saw two individuals running from the grassy knoll after the shots were fired, even had seen smoke. Was one of them Roscoe White?
Yes.
I see. So he was the other guy behind the shooter.
Yes.
Right. All right. Was Howard Hughes murdered?
No. Howard Hughes died of kidney problems.
What about the sense that Mayor Russell had that his Summa Corporation was hijacked, and that's why he'd been...
Oh, she was correct.
He had been hijacked by people around him.
Oh, most assuredly, yes. He did not die. When he was sent, he died. He'd been dead for 8-9 weeks before that was even announced. Everyone was setting themselves up for this.
Right, but was he hijacked when he started to disappear from Las Vegas in 1970? I think he went to Vancouver and then the Bahamas. Mm. Was he being moved around and kept hid from public view?
Yes.
Because some group had taken over his organization?
Yes.
So May is right.
You have to understand that he was himself extremely paranoid. And that was fed to him, kept his paranoia.
Yeah.
Best move from here, boss. They're beginning to locate us. They're beginning to know where we are. Let's move somewhere else. He kept on the move.
Okay, so he was paranoid. Now, what these people who kind of hijacked him, what did they gain after? They changed the papers and things?
Well, they changed the papers. They changed the organization. Money was shifted. Money was moved.
Is it a sinister international corporation?
Not a sinister. This is people taking advantage of the situation. And they did it in such a petty way.
That it's not very effective now?
No.
I mean, on the sinister level.
No.
When we talked about Hussein having two doubles, I wasn't sure how many of the cabinet knew that. Were the EGs just
they
saying...
They all know that.
Just by knowing that different guys would show up?
Yes.
At different... So, but it doesn't go below that.
No.
I see. So everybody in the 8 or 10 of the cabinet, whatever it is...
Oh, they know.
I see. In the JFK assassination, the famous three tramps that were carted into the police station and released without any identification, EGs know about that?
Yes.
Anecdote?
Yes.
Was one of the tramps Charles Harrelson?
No. It's puffed up. It's poor reporting.
They weren't involved in the planning?
Not at all.
And it wasn't E. Howard Hunt or any...
No.
Why weren't they identified then?
Because... Simple enough, they were transients, easily proved.
So it was just a coincidence that they looked like E.R. Hunt and Harrelson.
That was stretching it even then.
I see. Were the people involved in the JFK assassination also carried or linked in the shootings on De Gaulle?
No.
That was a different situation in Europe.
Different situation.
And there was no involvement from MI5, British intelligence, in the John Kennedy assassination?
None at all.
It was internal affair?
Strictly a U.S. operation from beginning to end.
Though they had to get rid of Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy because of the same kind of attitude that John Kennedy had that they possessed.
Yes.
So just a continuation of that.
It was indeed.
When the Evergreen said it about the Kennedy assassination, that in 4 years, this was in 77, much of the truth would come out.
Yes.
Would Robert Blakey's book and Anthony Summers' book be considered part of that?
Yes.
They're accurate up to it, pretty accurate.
Fair accurate.
I mean, details around
yes.
it.
Yes. Much of the material that was from the Warren Commission is still sealed to this day.
Yes.
And much of that... which would be released by the Warren Commission as to those dates, they will be proved that much of those books is accurate. But few followed that through to Hoover.
Yeah, it seems that I mean, Oswald didn't have doubles.
No.
But the idea that some guys were trying to pretend there were doubles or create the atmosphere there were, was that one of the plans?
You see, how do you obfuscate a situation? You confuse witnesses. That old joke of a person that has a car
all
painted
participants
white on one side,
are now
black
muted.
On the other. So the witnesses would contradict themselves in court.
Right.
Is very true here.
So they, beg your pardon?
There were people moving, people to, it was a chaotic situation. The whole objective was to create chaos.
Right, so they knew that Oswald would be the patsy, so they made it look like there were doubles.
Yes.
So it's, in this, all the speculation about it, it's a lot simpler than people figured, than people have written about.
Yes, it's simple.
Yeah, I see.
But you must set up a situation where it can happen. Backup, confusion, gunfire. You see, one point is being brought out. There's the Pruder film. That someone was actually filming at that particular point of the parade. See? Now, take for instance what has happened recently. That a beating of a man by police was videotaped.
Yes.
At that time, that Kennedy was killed, the cameras, of course, people carried cameras. It was not even expected that a film would be made. The odds of that happening are very slim and were not even put into the discussion. But physical witnesses, yes. Now, if you can get physical witnesses, not film, but physical witnesses, to contradict, it look very much as if this happened or that happened or the other happened. But no one could truly say what did happen.
So they didn't think of... Zapruder wasn't an agent filming it.
Not at all.
He just was... They didn't see that.
No, it was not a part of the equation.
What about the Umbrella Man? Was he making a signal?
No.
Just a coincidence that he raised it.
He raised the umbrella because he had an umbrella when the president was passing.
Yeah, it wasn't because it was sunny out. It was a symbol of respect or something.
He had an umbrella... And now, you see, when things such as this happen, a calamity such as this, everything is seen as a clue.
Yeah.
But everything isn't a clue.
What about Officer Tippetts and that?
Who killed Tippetts, yeah.
Mm. Who killed Tippetts?
Mm-hmm.
Oswald.
Oswald.
So most people have tried to disprove that, that he wasn't there and things like that.
Yeah. Why would there be any reason to kill Tippetts?
I don't know. Why did Oswald kill him?
Because Oswald was Oswald.
Well, he was part of the plot.
Part of the plot. He was the tool that was used. The tool was given various instructions. Do this, and this is how you're going to be recovered. If that tool believes he's going to be is paranoid to start with, and believes that that he's going to be double-crossed. He thought Tippett was part of the double-cross. So therefore he shot Tippett.
Had they prearranged to meet, or were they just...
No, he knew that he was going to get help. They said, we'll help you out of this situation. We'll get you out. You perform the action, leave the building, look normal, walk over here, do this, we pick you up. And Oswald thought that Tippetts was going to be a part of the picking him up routine. But and so therefore, that which triggered Tippett's suspicion was because Oswald was acting strange. And therefore he made a motion towards his revolver. And Oswald thought this was going to be the double cross. But he did not realize that there was a double cross.
Yes.
To be brought into play should it be needed. And that happened the following day.
Well, he was double crossed at the theater.
He was double crossed put in custody, and then shot.
Oh, I see that. Was he arranged? Did he think he was to meet somebody at the theater?
That was a place to go, be out of sight, let things die down just sufficiently that he would be able to walk out with the theater group, get into the quote getaway car, and leave the situation.
Yeah. So he was just, he was told to go to that theater.
Yes.
And wait.
Yes.
Now Jack Ruby was in the theater.
Yes.
Was he monitoring as a double cross person?
Yes.
He was. But Oswald did not know Ruby was there.
No.
I see. He was monitoring for that contingency.
Yes.
So he shot Tippett. He shot Tippett. And, was he up in the sixth floor, and did he take any shots? Who? Oswald.
Of the depository building?
Yeah.
Not any other than that was fired at the president.
So he did fire shots.
Yes, he did fire shots.
Even though some people claim he was down, you know, downstairs.
He was upstairs. He made that which he did do.
So he was one of the assassins.
Yes.
And one of his bullets went into Kennedy.
Yes.
And he fired two others?
He fired two others. One missed considerably.
And the second one hit anything?
No. In the general direction.
Right. And then there, how many other snipers were there?
One.
The grassy knoll.
Yes.
So the bullet, where'd the bullet in the back come from?
Grassy knoll.
In the back? Even though the grassy knoll was in the front?
Oh, the bullets that hit were all within a few seconds of each other. Oh, there was that gun at the knoll. To realize that the first bullet hit Kennedy. It hit him.
That's from Oswald?
Yes.
And hit him in the back?
Hit him in the...
The head?
In the head.
So even though this protoframe looks like it's a shot from front?
It isn't. It's a shot from the back.
And then the neck wound comes from the grassy knoll?
Yes.
And that's when it goes out the back?
Yes.
I see, yeah. But you can see the confusion. I mean, this protoframe makes it look like it's a front-on shot to the head.
Exactly.
So did the people...
If you see a person that's hit with a bullet from the front, you would see that... You have to understand the mass of the bullet is relatively small. The impact does not push the person back. If it pushed the person back to the extent that would be shown in the Zapruder film, in actuality, a person that's hit in the head does not always go back. Mostly, the musculature tightens and pushes the head forward.
I see. So that, and I think E.G. said that person from the knoll, he was shot within 24 hours, I think.
No longer exists.
Yeah, he was shot with, he was double-crossed too.
Yes.
Did Roger White know he was killed?
Yes, he knew.
Yeah, so he was paranoid from that point on.
He was very circumspect, let's put it that way.
So was the famous, the original researcher in the Kennedy genre, the Kennedy information, was Mark Lane, was he a disinformation spreader?
No, but realize that what he was reporting was from a terribly confused situation.
Yeah. So he wasn't part of an insider of the plot, but he thought he saw what he saw and described it.
Yes.
And, of course, those that were involved, they welcomed these people muckraking because that would add to the confusion.
Yes.
They were careful about the Zapruder film, but they eventually let that out because they knew everybody would interpret it the wrong way.
They would be interpreted a number of ways.
Yes.
Not a wrong way, just a number. All that's necessary is to get two conflicting experts on the stand, and the validity of the film begins to become questioned. What was it? How was it? Etc.
All right. Thank you very much, Evergreens, on that information.
When do you see the records in the Warren Commission becoming unsealed?
They say 2025, but in actuality, it will be much earlier than that.
So it's interesting, those who said that Oswald did it will be justified in a way.
Yes.
And those who said another sniper and will be justified.
Yes.
But all of them are only half or one-third right.
Oh, yes.
All right. Now, Carolyn had an interesting story told her the other day. This man, maybe you could tell about O'Dowd, Carolyn?
A gentleman who's been asked to sell and make up iodine water purification systems.
The following is a recording of a session given by the Evergreens. The Evergreens is the name we have given.
He was told to go to that theater.
Yes.
And wait.
Yes.
Now, Jack Ruby was in the theater.
Yes.
Was he monitoring as a double-cross person?
Yes.
But it's a lot simpler than people figured, than people have written about.
Yes, it's simple.
Yeah, I see.
But you must set up a situation where it can happen. Backup, confusion, gunfire. You see... One point has been brought out. The Zapruder film. That different situation.
And there was nobody in the 8 or 10 of the cabinet, whatever it is.
Oh, Vaindow.
I see. Now, in the JFK assassination, the famous 3 tramps that were carted into the police station and released without any identification. The EGs know about that?
Yes.
Anecdote?
Yes.
Was one of the tramps Charles Harrelson?
No. It's puffed up. It's poor reporting.
They weren't involved in the plan?
Not at all.
And it wasn't E. Howard Hunt or any...
No.
Why weren't they identified then?
Well, because... simple enough, they were transients. easily proved.
So it's just a coincidence that they look like E.R. Hunt and Harrelson.
That was stretching it even then.
I see. Were the people involved in the JFK assassination also carried or linked in the shootings on De Gaulle?
No.
That was a different situation in Europe.
Different situation.
And there was no involvement from MI5, British intelligence, in the John Kennedy assassination?
None at all.
It was internal affair.
Strictly a U.S. operation from beginning to end.
Though they had to get rid of Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy because of the same kind of attitude that John Kennedy had that they possessed.
Yes.
So it was just a continuation of that.
It was indeed.
When the Evergreen said it about the Kennedy assassination, that in 4 years, this was in 77, much of the truth would come out.
Yes.